I'll just read the translation to this prayer by Narottama Das Thakur to Lord Chaitanya and his associates. My dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned soul, fallen souls, but I assure you, you will not find a more fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, I may also become happy. My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind, please be kind to me. If you are kind to me naturally, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda will also be kind to me. I pray for the mercy of Sarup Damodar, the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Bhatta Raghunath Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and Lokanath Prabhu. I, Narottama Das, pray to the merciful Srinivasacharya, and I always desire the company of Ramachandra. Okay, so we're going to speak about Vaitacharya. Kishore, it's good to see you. You feeling all right?
Yeah.
Recovered, good. So, Om Gana Tividanda Shag Nanjana Shilakaya. Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigadave Namaha. So, this morning we spoke a little bit about the philosophy and what we call the ontological position of Advaitacharya. He is Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, and considered to be the what's called the material cause of the creation, because he is an expansion of the Mahavishnu. But I'm not going to get into those details tonight. Also, we're going to be talking about pastimes of the Lord. Vrindavan Das Thakur, and I'm going to be reading some quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and some stories that are told in the Advaita Prakash about Advaitacharya, some very interesting stories. So, first, we're going to read a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is from the Adi Lila. The well-being of the universe. Actually, first of all, we should know that Advaitacharya's other name is Kamalaksha, which means lotus eyes. So the well-being of the universe is in Advaita. He is the abode of all auspicious qualities. His activities are the eternal source for the welfare of the world. And therefore, he was also given the name Mangala. He is the abode of virtue, a portion or ansha of Mahavishnu. And his full name is thus Advaita because he is non-different from him. He is the most noble personality in the universe, the spiritual master of the Vaishnavas, and thus he has two names come together as Advaitacharya. Because in appearance he has eyes like lotus flowers, he also has the name Kamalaksha. So he is chief, this is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the next quote, chief amongst the gurus in knowledge, devotion, and renunciation, he especially teaches devotion to Krishna in the same way that Shankara did. So, as far as his appearance is concerned, his father's name was Kubera Pandit, and he was the Pandit to the king, and he's called Kubera Pandit because he's actually considered to be a great devotee of the original god, Kubera, who was Mahadev's friend, and sometimes considered to be an expansion of Kubera, who is Lord Shiva's friend and also the leader of the Guhyakas. Anyway. So he was a devotee of Lord Nrisingadev. And there's many stories about how being the devotee of Lord Nrisingadev, he made miracles. And his wife's name was Navadevi. And it's described in the Bhakti Ratnakara that she was worshipable to the whole world because she is the mother of Advaita Prabhu. So Advaita Prabhu appeared on the seventh day of the waxing moon of the month of Magh, which is actually today. And all the villagers came running to his house and they said, what pious works did this Brahmin do that in his old age he's been blessed with this jewel of the sun? The demigods described, raised Allah rained down flowers without being seen. And this is also from the Bhakti Ratnakara. And the first words he spoke were Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Wow.
Amazing, isn't it? So there's some information also from the Prema Vilas, which was written by Nityananda Das, who was the disciple of Janava Mata. So the information we have about Dvaitacharya's wife comes from different books called some of them, the Dvaita Mangala, Advaita Vilas, and Sita Charita. And Dvaitacharya remained on this earth for 125 years, so for a long period of time. So Dvaitacharya took care of his parents, as great Vaishnavas should do, until his parents disappeared, and then on the pretext of going to Gaya, because Gaya is where they perform the Shraddha ceremony, because there's the lotus imprints of the feet of Lord Vishnu there, he started to travel everywhere around India, and through his meditation, he was able to understand that Krishna himself was going to appear soon in Navadvip. So he went to many places, and there's many stories about his encounters with great Vaishnavas. One place he went to was Mithila, where he encountered this great poet, Vidyapati. And, of course, Vidyapati's works were the works that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated, along with Bilvamangal Thakur's works that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would read. And this is described, this meeting described elaborately in a book called the Advaita Vilas. And then while he was on pilgrimage, something amazing happened. He went to Vrindavan, and he resided in a place called Dwarasadicha Tila, that means the hill where the 12 suns shone. Of course, this is a famous hill that was right next to the Yamuna River. And it's called Dwarasadicha because when Krishna jumped into the Yamuna River and chastised the Kaliya serpent, he came out, Krishna came out, and he was shivering because it was so cold. So then he climbed this hill, and the sun shone forth with 12 times the normal brilliance. Therefore, it's called Dvaitacharya. So while he was up at Dvaitacharya Hill, he had a vision that the deity of Madan Gopal, which had been installed by Brajanava, Krishna's great-grandson, was buried in the ground. So he went and he got the villagers and they dug in the ground and they discovered Madan Gopal there. So he installed Madan Gopal in the little temple on Dwarasadicha Hill. And he went away that night. But that night, the Muslims came and they heard that there was a deity there and they were going to break the deity, destroy the deity. So they came up to the temple. It was a very roughly constructed temple. And they didn't see the deity there. And so they went away frustrated, which is all right. And the next morning, the pujari came, and he couldn't find the deity. And the Dvaitacharya came, and they couldn't find the deity. And they thought, we've committed some offense, because Krishna, Madan Gopal, has left the situation. And so they were crying. Then the Dvaitacharya had a vision or heard a voice that Madan Gopal himself had left the temple and hidden in the bushes. Not that the pujari did it, but this particular instance, the deity actually ran away from the temple to hide from the Muslims. So they took Madan Gopal, put him back on the altar, because the deity revealed to Dvaitacharya where he was. And as soon as they put him on the altar, the deity said to Dvaitacharya, I'm still afraid of the Muslims. So you should take me to Mathura in the house of a Brahmin. Chobe was the name, house of a Brahmin, and put me there. And of course, later on, Sanatana Goswami discovered the deity there, and that deity was Madan Mohan. So it was Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan. So that happened in Vrindavan. So anyway, so Dvaitacharya traveled all over, and when he came back to Shantipur, which is where he appeared. Actually, there's two different versions of where he appeared. One said he was in Shantipur, another one in a place called Laura. But anyway, generally it's understood Shantipur he appeared. So he came back to Shantipur, and when he was in Shantipur, a great devotee named Madhavendra Puri came to Shantipur. And when he met Madhavendra Puri, he could see that Madhavendra Puri was actually a branch of the Chaitanya tree, or one of the roots or branches of the Chaitanya tree. And so he was amazed at Madhavendra Puri's great ecstasy, because Madhavendra Puri was on his way to collect sandalwood for Gopal, who he installed in Vrindavan, in Govardhan. And so he took initiation from Madhavendra Puri at that particular point. And Madhavendra Puri told him, you should get married. So Dwaitacharya at that point, following the orders of his guru, because Dwaitacharya was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, he got married to two ladies who were sisters. One's name was Shri, and the other name was Sita. And generally he's understood to be the husband of Sita, but Shri is also his wife. So in the Gauraganadesh certificate, it's written that Yogamaya took the form of Sita. And Shri is her, what we call Prakash expansion. So he was married to Yogamaya. So Dwaitacharya resided in two places. One was in Shantipur, and the other one was in Navadvip, Mayapur, right near where Shiva Sangam is. Let's see, what did you do? Also, another story. This is a story that I just found out from the Dwaita Prakash. Dwaitacharya was with Madhavendra Puri, and Dwaitacharya was lamenting that all the fallen souls are there in this Kali Yuga, and how could they be saved? So they had a discussion between both of them. And they came to the conclusion that a partial incarnation of the Lord could not save the fallen souls. So they required a full appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Dwaitacharya is a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Rajendra Nandana, was directly Krishna. And we know Krishna, Dvaita, Chuta, Nantarupam. Krishna has many different forms, but Ete Chaksa, Kalakpumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the source of all the incarnations. He's the Bhagavan Swayam, original personality of Godhead. So they were discussing this, and then they were going through various Vaishnava literatures. Finally, they came to this literature called the Ananta Sangita. And in the Ananta Sangita, it mentioned, this is very interesting, that the Lord would appear in Kali Yuga and his name would be Gauranga. So they uncovered the name Gauranga. Very, very interesting. Even before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his pastimes. So, there's a description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Madhavendra Puri and Ishwara Puri, and I'm going to read this. It's from the Adi Leela, 9th chapter, text 21. It is said that Mahaprabhu is the main trunk of the wish-fulfilling tree of devotion, as well as the gardener who enjoys and distributes the tree's fruits. Though the tree was planted in Navadvip, it grew in Purushottam Dham, that's Jagannath Puri, and Vrindavan, expanding into an entire orchard producing many, many fruits of love. Madhavendra Puri is said to be its first seedling, which eventually grew into this tree. Ishwara Puri was nourished from this seedling. Mahaprabhu, though himself the gardener, also became the tree's main trunk through his inconceivable energies. Advaita and Nityananda were two secondary trunks into which the main trunk divided. So we describe how there was required a full appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Advaitacharya was thinking like that. He thought that a partial incarnation of the Lord would not be sufficient, and so he began to worship Krishna's feet with Ganges water and tulsi leaves, shouting and pleading for the Lord to appear. So it's described with roars of love, which are called prema hunkura. Advaita showed his desire for the Lord to be revealed. And these quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he constantly offered water from the Ganges and Tulsi Mandiris while meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, at the same time calling on Krishna with loud roars. In this way, he caused Krishna to descend. This then is the chief reason that Krishna Chaitanya became incarnate on this earth. He was the bridge of justice, descends at the wish of the devotee. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela. From the Bhakti Ratnakara, it's stated, Advaitacharya dwelt in Shantipur. His body is the reservoir of devotional nectar and is non-different from that of Chaitanya. Chaitanya, whose spotless fame has filled the earth, was brought down to this earth by him. Maya Dwaita is not different from Gauranga, and his wife Sita is the mother of the universe. His roars brought Gauranga into this world, and he glorified him everywhere. Okay? There's many quotes about this. So, prior to Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this material world, Lord Nityananda came down. Actually, before Lord Nityananda appeared, there were eight daughters of Jagannath Mishra and Satyadeva, all who died before Visvarupa appeared. Visvarupa, of course, is Lord Nityananda's other self. So he's considered to be non-different from Lord Nityananda. That's why I described him as Lord Nityananda. So on the full moon evening of the month of Palgun, which is coming up in February, the source of all, March actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his appearance. And before he made his appearance, Advaitacharya understood that Lord Chaitanya was going to appear, and he came to Navadvip, and he worshipped Satyadevi's womb. He actually circumambulated Satyadevi and smeared sandalwood paste on her womb, which is quite unusual. Everyone thought this is extremely unusual. But he understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was going to appear in the womb of Satyadevi. So every day, this is after Lord Chaitanya appeared, Lord Chaitanya's older brother, Visvarupa, used to go to Advaita's house to hear him speak about Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Satchimata would send a Nimai there to either remind Visvarupa to come home for lunch or to bring Visvarupa some prasadam. When Advaitacharya saw Nimai's beautiful face, he became enchanted, but he was unable to recognize him. So remember, previously Advaitacharya was worshipping Satchi's womb because he understood the Supreme Lord would appear. Then after that, he couldn't recognize Lord Chaitanya. Now, why is that? Because of the influence of Yogamaya. So in the meantime, Visvarupa, Lord Chaitanya's brother, had been secretly planning to take sannyasa. When he heard his parents discussing marriage plans, he just left home in the middle of the night. So everybody was completely disturbed by this and lamenting because of Visvarupa's leaving home. And because of Visvarupa's leaving home, Satchimata and Jagannath Mishra decided not to give Chaitanya, that is Nimai, any more education because they felt because the education, that's why Visvarupa left home. Because Visvarupa was informed about the temporary nature of this material world. And when you're informed about the temporary nature of this material world, you're going to be less inclined to want to get married. So, it's a danger. So therefore, we shouldn't tell people about the temporary nature. So we shouldn't tell Ayusha about the temporary nature of this material world. Forget everything you heard. It'll be dangerous because your parents want you to get married. So anyway, eventually they let Lord Chaitanya again go back to school. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his pastimes of sitting on some broken cooking pots that were considered discarded. So, also another thing that happened in the meantime was that Ishwara Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, came and stayed at Advaitacharya's house. Eventually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya and took initiation from Ishwara Puri. And when he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, his whole mood changed, because previously he was exhibiting the pastimes of being a scholar in Yaya, and sometimes he would even challenge the Vaishnavas. He would say, challenge them to logic and some argumentation, and he would defeat them, and the Vaishnavas would run away from him. So when he took initiation, showing the importance of taking initiation, he exhibited his pastimes, not only of being the great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one day at Srivas Thakur's house, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated he wanted to perform Vyasa Puja to Lord Nityananda, who was the original spiritual master. And then he started to call Dvaitacharya. He wasn't there at that point. He was calling out, Nara, Nara. And he revealed that Dvaitacharya had caused him to descend to this material world. He said, it is due to Dvaitacharya that I have come down, for Nara's roars rang in my ears. I was lying down in the milk ocean, but Nara's roar woke me up and brought me down here. That's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So after this Vyasa Puja came to an end, he called for Dvaitacharya. But Dvaitacharya, understanding that Lord Chaitanya revealed his divine entity, wanted to test Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came to Navadvipa and he was hiding in Nandanacharya's house. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this, and he sent his devotee Ramai Pandit to get Dvaitacharya. And then Dvaitacharya realized that the Supreme Lord is omniscient. He came to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did many things. One thing is he showed Dvaitacharya his universal form, because Dvaitacharya asked to see that same universal form that Arjuna had seen in the Bhagavad Gita. And when he saw that, he understood he was directly dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he recited this mantra. He washed the Lord's lotus feet and just recited this mantra, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. I pay my obeisances to Lord Krishna Govinda, the Lord of the Brahminical Society, to him who is the source of the cows and the Brahmin's welfare, and who is the source of the entire universe's well-being. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a command to Dvaitacharya to get up and dance. And Dvaita started to dance so madly that it appeared that he was completely intoxicated, and all the devotees, and remember, he was an old man, all the devotees were just shocked to see this. So, Dvaitacharya was also known in terms of his association and mercy towards Haridas Thakur. Of course, Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, and eventually he came to live in Puglia, which is right near Shantipur. And Dvaitacharya used to invite Haridas Thakur to come to his house to take prasad. And Haridas Thakur felt very uneasy about this. And many of the Brahmins began to criticize Dvaitacharya for doing this, because you're really not supposed to have someone from a lower caste, what to speak of someone from another religion, like that, in your house. But Dvaitacharya, in order to teach them the importance of Vaishnava Dharma, invited Haridas Thakur to take the Shraddha plate, and he recited verses from the Vaishnava literatures that stated that the Shraddha plate is supposed to be given to the best of the Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnava is automatically the best Brahmin. And so in this way he proved that Haridas Thakur was a great devotee, and he proved that actually one's birth, which should not be considered, but one's Vaishnava quality should be considered. And this is a quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about this. Advaita said, please don't be afraid. I shall only do what is accepted in scripture. If you eat, it is though 10 million Brahmins had eaten. After saying this, he gave the Shraddha plate to Haridas Thakur to eat. So Dvaitacharya had six sons. And this is also a story that Prabhupada comments on. Of course, his chief son was Achyutananda. And there's a very interesting story. Oh, let me tell the story about Achyutananda first. Achyutananda was such a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one time someone asked Dvaitacharya who Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master was. And Dvaitacharya replied, the very fortunate Keshava Bharati, and of course Ishwara Puri. And then Achyutananda got very angry at his father. He said, how can you say this? Lord Chaitanya is the supreme personality of Godhead. How can you say he has a spiritual master? You know, practically he was chastising his father. His father became very happy to hear this. So anyway, so Achyutananda was the chief of all the sons. So Dvaitacharya had six sons, but three of the sons really were not devotees, did not accept the supremacy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he rejected these three sons. And in Prabhupada's commentary in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he talks about how these sons were asara. Asara means like useless. And then Prabhupada also relates that to, I guess, some of his godbrothers who didn't follow the order of his spiritual master. And he says they became asara, useless too. And then Prabhupada said, one should follow the order. The implication is that one should follow the order of the spiritual master to become sara or useful. Otherwise, if one neglects it, he becomes asara or useless. Let's see. Okay, another story that's told about Dvaitacharya, this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, is that Dvaitacharya was such a good devotee that if anyone thought anything negatively about Dvaitacharya, even thought anything negatively about Dvaitacharya, then that person was not given pure love of God by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one instance that proves this is that when Sachi Devi got angry at Dvaitacharya, Sachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya's mother, of course, is the mother of the whole universe, and she got angry at Dvaitacharya. When Dvaitacharya, not because Dvaitacharya did anything, but because Visvarup, who was Lord Chaitanya's brother, was regularly going to visit Dvaitacharya. And Visvarup, as we told the story before, took sannyas. And when he took sannyas, she blamed Dvaitacharya. So instead of thinking, you know, it's not his fault, she sort of said, she thought that his name should not be Advaita, it should be Dvaita. In other words, Dvaita means dual. So she was referring to the fact that two-faced, he's a cheater, because he cheated me out of my son. And because she thought like that, later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting his Mahaprakash Lila and giving pure love of God to everybody, the devotees asked, is Sachi Mata going to get pure love of God? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, because she's offended at Dvaitacharya. And then Sachi Mata wanted to touch the feet of Dvaitacharya. And, of course, Dvaitacharya wouldn't let her touch his feet. But eventually, he started to praise Sachi Mata with such ecstasy that he fainted, and then Sachi Mata was able to touch his feet. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then you can get pure love of God. So that shows the importance of having a proper attitude towards Vaishnavas. Of course, one could say, well, we're not dealing with the Dvaitacharya here, we're just dealing with, you know, ordinary run-of-the-mill Vaishnavas. But actually, every Vaishnava is dear to Krishna. In fact, it's stated in the Upadeshamrita that even if one, chants Hare Krishna once, one should offer respect to that person in the mind. What to speak of someone who's chanting Hare Krishna regularly or an initiated devotee? So one has to be very, very careful about dealing with Vaishnavas, and that's the story. That's the lesson we learn from this particular story. Then another story about Dvaitacharya and his relationship with Lord Nityananda is that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Lord Nityananda didn't want Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan at that particular point. So he tricked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to Shantipur. He actually told him that the Ganges was the Jamuna. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped into the Ganges River, thinking it was the Jamuna River, and they took him to the other shore. And there was a Dwaitacharya, because it was Shantipur. And Lord Chaitanya said, "How did you know I was in Vrindavan?" And then a Dwaitacharya revealed, "No, this is actually Shantipur. It's not Vrindavan." So then the Dwaitacharya very nicely received Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He and his wife cooked many different varieties of vegetables, and also they brought Sachi Mata there to cook for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were receiving very nicely. So during this whole encounter where Lord Chaitanya was being fed and Lord Nityananda was being fed by a Dwaitacharya, Lord Nityananda and a Dwaitacharya exhibited their humorous, sort of like mock-fighting relationship with each other. And this was exhibited elsewhere, when I'll tell the story a little later about this. But I wanted to read from the Majalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that illustrates this, because the Dwaitacharya was feeding both of them some prasadam, and there was so much prasadam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu complained, you know, how can we eat so much prasadam? But Lord Nityananda said something different. So the Majalila says, Nityananda Prabhu said, "I have undergone fasting for 3 days continuously. Today I had hoped to break my fast." Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking that the quantity of food was enormous, Nityananda Prabhu, on the contrary, thought it not even a morsel. He had been fasting for 3 days and greatly hoped to break the fast in that day. Indeed, he said, "Although I'm invited to eat by a Dwaitacharya, today is also a fast. So small a quantity of food will not fill even half my belly." A Dwaitacharya replied, "Sir, you are a mendicant traveling on pilgrimage. Sometimes you eat, and sometimes you eat fruits and roots, and sometimes you simply go on fasting. I'm a poor Brahmin and you come to my home. Please be satisfied with whatever little food you receive and give up your greedy mentality." Lord Nityananda replied, "Whatever I may be, you've invited me. Therefore, you must supply as much as I want to eat." And then Dvaitacharya spoke some joking words. Dvaitacharya said, "You are a reject Paramahamsa, and you have accepted the renounced order of life just to fill up your belly. I can understand that your business is to give trouble to brahmanas." Dvaitacharya accused Lord Nityananda of saying, "You can eat 10 to 20 manas of rice. I'm a poor Brahmin. How shall I get so much rice? Whatever you have, though it be a palmful of rice, please eat it and get up. Don't show your madness and strew the remnants of food here and there." In this way, they were joking back and forth. So after a while, we're going to skip ahead on this. Lord Nityananda said, again, Lord Nityananda jokingly said, "My belly is not yet filled up. Please take away your food. I have not taken the least of it." After saying this, Nityananda Prabhu took a handful of rice, threw it on the floor in front of him, Dvaitacharya also, as if he were angry. When 2 or 4 pieces of the thrown rice touched his body, Dvaitacharya began to dance in various ways with the rice still stuck to his body. When the rice thrown by Lord Nityananda touched his body, Dvaitacharya thought himself purified by the touch of remnants thrown by Paramahamsa Nityananda. Therefore, he began to dance. Dvaitacharya jokingly said, "My dear Nityananda, I've invited you, and indeed I've received the results. You have no fixed caste or dynasty. By nature, you are a madman. To make me a madman like yourself, you have thrown the remnants of your food at me. You did not even fear the fact that I'm a Brahmin." Lord Nityananda replied, "These are the remnants of food left by Lord Krishna. If you take them to be ordinary remnants, you have committed an offense." Lord Nityananda continued, "If you invite at least 100 sannyasis to your home and feed them sumptuously, your offense will be nullified." Dvaitacharya replied, I shall never again invite another sannyasi. For it is the sannyasi who has spoiled all my Brahminical Smriti regulations. So, of course, you also had fights with Lord Nityananda in the Indradunya Sarovara. This is a very interesting story. Advaitacharya would go every year to Jagannath Puri. Actually, the first 3 years after Lord Chaitanya went there, none of the devotees went. But after 3 years, all the devotees would go every year during the Chaturmasya periods. And during the Jagannath Rath Yatra. And so when they would go there and they would go on the Rath Yatra, to the Gundicha temple, there were ponds there, the Narendra Sarovara and the Indradunya Sarovara. And in these ponds, the devotees would act like little children, basically. They would be fighting each other, Lord Chaitanya's associates. So Lord Chaitanya would fight with, with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then you'd have Lord Nityananda fighting with the Dvaitacharya, and sometimes Lord Nityananda would splash so much water in the Dvaitacharya's face that the Dvaitacharya couldn't see, and he started to curse, but not in bad words, of course, start to yell at Lord Nityananda. So you had these different interactions between the two of them. They were quite humorous. And remember, they're both God. So by the actions of Yogamaya, both of these personalities, who are the same person, forgot that they were the same person. And they were fighting with each other in a joking way. It's amazing. And Lord Chaitanya is the same person, because in the Panchatattva we have the Vishnu Tattva, that is Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaitacharya. And they're all the same person. But they don't remember they're the same persons, because voluntarily the Lord puts himself under the influence of Yogamaya for the sake of rasa, for the sake of pastimes. Mm. And there's another interesting pastime where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes about a pastime with Advaitacharya's son Gopal Mishra. And this is from the 12th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'm going to just summarize this. During the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, Gopal was dancing and chanting before them. And suddenly he fell unconscious, and Advaitacharya became very anxious and thought that his son had left his body. So Advaitacharya began to chant the Nrisimha mantra. And nothing Advaitacharya did that helped his son return to consciousness. All the devotees began to cry. And Lord Chaitanya touched Gopal on the heart and said, "Get up, Gopal, and chant." And Gopal immediately returned to consciousness and began to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So many stories about Advaitacharya. So finally, it's almost time. When Advaitacharya returned to Navadvipa from Jagannath Puri, Advaitacharya wanted to give Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the message that it was time to leave the planet. And so he sent this message with a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named Jagannanda Pandit. And so he sent this message as a riddle. And the riddle was as follows. "Tell the Lord that I pay him 1,000,000 obeisances and I humbly submit to him the following. Tell the madman that everyone has gone mad. Tell the madman that they are no longer selling rice in the market. Tell the madman that the crazies are no longer good for anything. Tell the madman this is what the madman said." I mean, who can understand that? In other words, he was saying that Lord Chaitanya's mission had been accomplished, that everybody had become mad in love of God. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this riddle. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own words. "Tell Mahaprabhu that everyone has become intoxicated with love for Krishna, and so in the marketplace of love, no one is buying the rice of Krishna prema anymore." In other words, they have it for free. "Tell Mahaprabhu," because that's Namo Mahavanyaya Krishna prema padayate. "Tell Mahaprabhu the crazies are so intoxicated with love they are no longer involved in their material duties. Tell Mahaprabhu that Advaita said this in a state of complete intoxication and prema." In short, the message was, that the purpose for which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been called on earth by Advaita had been completed. Now the Lord can leave. So, there was another story. I guess we have a few more minutes. There's another story that's related to a devotee named Kamalakant Vishwas. Now, Kamalakant Vishwas was a disciple of Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya, for some reason or other, had accumulated debts. And so Kamalakant Vishwas went and wrote to King Prataparuja asking, first of all, he said, Advaitacharya is the supreme personality of Godhead, but he needs money. You know, there's sort of a contradiction there. You know, here's the supreme Lord, full of all six opulences, but he's in debt. He needs some money. And so when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he punished Kamalakant by refusing to give him access to the Gambira, which is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived. And Kamalakant was disturbed by this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this whole thing. He says, Kamalakant first proved that Advaita was the Supreme Lord, but then begged for money from the king on Advaita's behalf. This action was very displeasing for Lord Chaitanya. Even though Advaitacharya is God himself, he's in this world playing the part of a man in order to teach. For an acharya to beg from a king to free himself, this is an instruction, from debt is considered to be shameless behavior. One should entirely abandon the desire for material, and if the desire for material well-being is taken to the point of begging from a foreign king in order to become free of debt, then one's spiritual life will certainly go to ruin. Kings are by nature materialistic. If one eats the food of a materialistic person, his mind becomes clouded over. When the mind is clouded over, then he can no longer remember Krishna, and his life is wasted. Such begging is therefore a prohibited action for everyone, but is especially so for those who are in the position of an acharya. It is the acharya's duty to instruct people in the holy names, but he should not take money in return for such instruction. If he does so, he becomes an offender to the holy name rather than an initiator in the name. If an instructor of the holy names becomes a money collector, then it is a matter of shame and his religious reputation will be ruined. So, let's see. Okay. So that's all we have about Advaitacharya. Any questions or comments about Advaitacharya? Questions, comments?
Gopi has one.
Oh, Gopi has one. Okay.
I guess to be really quick, as I'm really curious about how we develop our internal life so that we can really, I want to say be a part of these pastimes, and obviously that's really elevated, but like really, I mean, when you're reading this, I just feel so much, you know, nectar of peace or, you know, something tangible, but wanting to develop that so that you have this immense internal life, but you're able to follow through and do all your normal external things, you know, to the best of your ability.
Well, one way to cultivate that, perhaps the best way, is to regularly read these pastimes from Srila Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then these pastimes will be implanted in the hearts and one will remember them. And by remembering these pastimes, then even while we're going about our regular duties, we'll be thinking of these different pastimes of Advaitacharya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda. That's my answer. To read.
Reading and hearing.
Reading and hearing, same thing. To regularly read, hear these pastimes. Prabhupada said everybody, those who don't read his books or don't read regularly, they'll go away. So it's important to take that medicine every day because we are right now in, not in the temple, of course, But in Kali Yuga, it's a very impure atmosphere. Kalea Doshan Vay Rajana Shego Mahaguna. And so it's necessary to take remedial measure, because we're in an infectious, just like if you're in the hospital, or you go in the hospital, you wash your hands. I mean, yesterday I was seeing the doctor, and he's washing his hands all the time. Even after touching me, I thought, I'm pure. You know? Why do you have to wash your hands after touching me? Anyway, so he was washing his hands, because it's an infectious atmosphere. And actually, when I go in the hospital, I always take someone with me to open the door so I don't touch them. So the Kali Yuga is an infectious atmosphere, so we have to take our injection or vaccination on a regular basis. And then we'll actually remember. And we'll deepen our Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Yes?
Yes, considering Dvaitacharya, is there any, what was this like when his bloodline, like 100 years later, or 20 years later, or 30 years later? What were they like? Was there any record on that?
Yes, there is some record of that. And many of his descendants, just like the Nityananda Vamsa, they consider themselves to be very special. But even if one is the son or daughter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no guarantee that you're going to be a great devotee. There is some history about his bloodline, as there is of course, Lord Nityananda, he had one son. And the whole point is you examine someone by their qualities rather than their birth. And so even if one is, just like Krishna had a son who he had to kill because he became a demon. His son's name was Boma, and he became Bomasura by bad association. And then Krishna had to take care of him. So anyway, because Bulbasaur stole, he kidnapped all these princesses, and he did so many demoniac things that Krishna had to kill him. So it's no guarantee that if you're in the family of a great devotee, that you're going to be a great devotee. Like a Dvaitacharya had three sons who he rejected. Okay, now that happy note. All glories divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Dvaitacharya ki jai.